calling all members of the in crowd. If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutednz. You can find us on Facebook, The Fade Route with DNZ. We're on Spreaker. We're on YouTube, The Fade Route with DNZ. Catch our videos. Like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, and spread the word. Coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the Ayo Studio.
Ayo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Mookie is off to a hot start. The Final Four is set on the men's side, and Caitlin Clark gets revenge on LSU. But we begin today's show with Major League Baseball. Season was in full swing this weekend. Pirates are 5-0. Tigers are 4-0. The Yankees swept the Astros in Houston to start the season 4-0. What was your biggest takeaway from the weekend?
And then the Astros go and no-hit the Blue Jays. So they're 1-4.
Mets still looking for a win, right?
Mets still looking for their first win. Marlins still looking for theirs. White Sox still looking for theirs. So biggest takeaway from this weekend is that it is early. It's five games in for some people. Can I interest you in some league leaders?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, batting average. I'll let you guess. Who do you think is leading the major leagues in batting average?
Mookie Betts.
Second place, Anthony Volpe. 571. So who is leading the major leagues in home runs?
Mookie Betts.
Now your guy, Mookie Betts, tied with Teoscar Hernandez. So Mookie Betts
they're on the same team, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. We didn't even touch on Ohtani. We didn't even touch on Freddie Freeman yet. You know, Mookie's leading the league in hits. He's leading the league in runs batted in. It's the Mookie Betts show. Got that. Can I interest you in who is leading all of Major League Baseball in wins?
Wins. Gee. I'm not sure. Ooh.
So it's a tie. Luke Weaver of the Yankees and Elvis Peguero of the Brewers.
Luke Weaver, huh?
Immortals. True immortals. Like, guaranteed to be there at the end of the year for the Cy Young. League leader in saves. Clay Holmes. Yay! He's tied with Abner Uribe of the Brewers, by the way. But Clay Holmes at the top of this list. Now let's look at team leaders. I'll give you a team leader. So Braves, we expect to be the league leaders in hitting. Yes, we get this. Dodgers, we expect to be up there with the home runs. Right? Dodgers, but pretty much the major offensive statistics that count, the Dodgers are there.
Yeah, makes sense.
Your major league leaders in earned run average.
Morton?
No, team.
Oh, team?
Yeah.
Braves.
No. The Boston Red Sox. The team that we have been dogging forever and a day. 1.42 ERA so far. Second, the Tigers at 1.89. Third, the Yankees with a flat 2. So, when I tell you it's early, I mean it's early. It's absolutely early. You know, yes, the Pirates are off to a great start. The Mets are not off to a great start. The Tigers are first place. You know, the Yankees, yes, the Astros, we did not expect them to do that, but then they seem to right the ship pretty well. Like, the cream will rise to the top. We know this. I tweeted X this today at FadeRouteDNZ. Water finds its level. Major League Baseball teams find their level. You're never as good as when you're going great. You're never as bad as when you're dog shit. So even the worst team in baseball, even the worst team in baseball history, 60 wins. You're at least winning 60 games. So that's my takeaway from this. It's that teams get out of the breaks hot. You'll find your water level around Memorial Day. Now, like, your teams have already experienced injuries, right? The Yankees seem to be doing okay without Gerrit Cole. The Mets just lost Tyler McGill. They already are missing Kodai Senga. So, what more do you... They're trying to... They're looking to bring
Jung him. Went down for the Rangers.
Jung got hit by a pitch. He fractured his wrist.
He did fracture it.
I think it's a fracture. I'm pretty sure it was a fracture. That's a big deal. Oh, you know, Josh Jung was there. He was in the Rookie of the Year conversation last year. So, you know, better to get the injury bug early, because you can sustain, you can come back from this. Your organization can make moves. You individually can come back. Like, that's why the Justin Verlander injury, I'm fine with it now, because he'll be there later, right? It's the same thing as last year, the Terrace Major injury. Like, you'd rather have it at the beginning of the year than 2 weeks before the end of the year if you're fighting for the playoff spot. The timing of all of this is incredible. The timing is vital to the success of your organization and your depth. Certain teams, their depth is being tested already. The Mets are being linked to Julio Teheran.
Oh yeah, you that know, guy. Did he get cut by the Orioles?
Yes.
That guy.
Yes, but you know what? He wasn't making that team anyway. This is a guy. This is a guy who got cut by your Braves. I believe he got cut by the Brewers. He got cut by the Tigers. I think he was a White Sox. He might
sounds
have been
like a
White
Met already.
Yeah, he's a journeyman. He's a journeyman who will work cheap. It does sound like a Met, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It absolutely does sound. Yeah. You know, but like I said in our order up from last week, the Mets are accumulating, you know, threes and fours and asking them to be ones and twos. So that's where they are right now. It's smoke and mirrors. It's early. And the cream will rise to the top, because that's what happens in all sports. The little engines that could eventually run out of gas. That's just how it works.
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate enough where I watched a lot of Dodger baseball, actually, over the weekend. And they're just going to be a problem. They're just going to be a problem for a pitcher. It's going to be a problem for your third and your fourth starter. It's just extremely hard to navigate. You have to deal with Betts, then you have to deal with Otani, and then you have to deal with Mookie Freeman. For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, for Freddie Freeman. Like, it's treacherous. And then, like, I was watching the game against the Cardinals on Sunday night. Cardinals were winning. It's 4-0. Going to the sixth. Bang. Bomb. Now it's 4-2. Bang, bomb. Now Muncy hits a home run. Now it's 5-4. And now we're going into the ninth and the game's over. Sucks for you. And that's it. They're never going to be out of the game. They're just never going to be out of the game. And the problem is, for the Cardinals, as I predicted, I think they're just going to be sellers. Like, Goldschmidt's playing well, but they're... Yeah, their 3-4-5 are great. Gorman, Goldschmidt, Arenado. Yeah, it's fantastic. But then after that, there's nothing. Before that, there's even less.
Right.
So, you know, it's just not sustainable. And then, which is wild. One of the stats they were talking about was Nolan Arenado. He's won 10 straight gold gloves out the gate. From his day one in the majors, he won a gold glove. 10 straight years, and last year was the first year that he didn't win the Gold Glove, and it's just like, damn, that's nice. So that was the first takeaway I had, and the second one is Juan Soto going to get paid. Juan Soto is going to get paid, probably by the Mets. Steve is going to say, just write the number down on this piece of paper and you're going to get it, because he's a gamer, man. What, over the weekend, he has the go-ahead RBI in one game. He hits a home run in another game, throws the guy out in front and at the plate, throws a tying run out at the plate in late innings in another game. It's like, geez. It's like, Judge, hand over your captaincy, because that's the captain of this team. He's the best player on this team. He plays every day, and it's got to be intimidating. I know it sounds weird, but I do think it's intimidating for Judge, because he's there. This was your team. This guy is coming in, and they're going to love him in Yankee Stadium. And he's playing right field. Like, he's playing your spot. Like, he just – you – I think it would be very demoralizing if this man comes in, plays right field, has a great year. They get maybe to the World Series, or maybe they get to the American League Championship Series. He leaves, and then Judge got to go back to right field. That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Because now you're going to be like, well, wait a minute. We had Soto. We let Soto go for this guy. This is the guy we decided to pay. Whereas I think it's going to be a problem. I really do think it's going to be a problem.
Sprained his ankle and said, fuck you, I'm playing the next day. That's the attitude. You know, like, I'm seeing Juan Soto up close. You definitely, like, get a better respect for him. Like, he's not just a crotch-grabbing son of a bitch that was on the...
I thought he was good. I did. I said on this podcast, I said, he's going to have a career year. I think he's going to have his best year. He's going to hit over 35 bombs. He's going to play a lot of games. But starting off like this, beating the Astros, sweeping the Astros, like, it's nothing. Like, shrugging over, like, whatever.
Well, it has been nothing, because this is... six consecutive losses for the Astros against the Yankees, because they got swept last year to end the year. Now they got swept to start the year. So,
but we're talking about Soto. So, you know, Juan Soto, like I said, is off to a hard start, a hot start. He's batting over 500 with a 1.329 OPS. And believe it or not, Mookie Betts is higher than that. He homers. He gets the go-ahead RBI. He throws out runners at the plate to steal games. Is there a chance the Yankees could extend Soto so he doesn't hit free agency?
Who's Juan Soto's agent?
Of course.
That's all you need to know. Next question.
There's nothing they could do, right?
Nothing. Next question. Moving on. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous to me that this is the... And you know what? This might be the time for Boris to change up his methodology.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
He's coming off a horrendous offseason, Chris Klein.
Right.
Like, nobody got what they wanted. Absolutely nobody. So, like, maybe this is time for him to change up his tactics. And maybe this offseason was Major League Baseball GM saying, you know, you're going to have to play ball with us now, because we don't have to do what you want. Right? These teams are not going to overpay the way the Texas Rangers paid for Kevin Millwood, or for the Dodgers paying for Derek Lowe, or the Rockies paying for Mike Hampton. Like, nobody's doing that anymore. Nobody's tripping over themselves to give your clients the sun, the moon, and the stars in the offseason. You want it? You got to negotiate with us now. Because guess what? Like, the result of the season, it doesn't matter. We have our number, we have our value, and we're not going to move off of it, because the Yankees need to pay, possibly, Rizzo, Glaber, Soto, Verdugo, right? That's only four guys. There's about eight guys who are going to be free agents. So if this team is good, and yes, 5-0, like, the Yankees are projected to be good.
I mean, listen, they didn't beat a slouch. I mean, Houston's a good team, and they went in and
they just threw
a no-hitter against the Toronto team.
They just beat the National League pennant winners last year. They just knocked off the Diamondbacks. So, you know, the Yankees are...
They won again?
No, they won last night. They're 5-0. Oh, they knocked off the Astros, and then they beat the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, in the Astros win, and they beat the Blue Jays, and they pitched a no-hitter against them, and the Blue Jays are a good lineup. That's not a shabby team. They're actually a decent team.
It's so absolutely.
And you went into that place during opening weekend in Houston, and it was like, no problem. First game was 7-1, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, Soto's hitting 450, He has 9 hits and 20 at-bats. He's got his homer. He's playing stellar defense. Like, he's doing everything he needs to do to get paid. Now, it's a couple of different things. It's Scott Boras. It's also Brian Cashman. Right? Brian Cashman did the move.
If you're Brian Cashman, what are you doing? Like, what are you thinking? Like, what's the number that you think you could do, you could realistically do this for? Is this something that you're going to try?
Ohtani set the market. That's the thing.
Like, you got to go above that, at that, or just below that?
I think you have to go higher for Ohtani because he pitches. I would say if you're in the 6 range,
10 somewhere, years, $600 million, is that what you're pitching?
I would say that would be a safe bet. 10 for 600, just because Ohtani is so different because of the pitching, right? Like, you got to take a little bit off. You have to take a little bit. Like, you can't pay him apples to apples unless Juan Soto is going to, you know, toe the slab every fifth day. You might have to if Garrett Cole's out for a long period of time.
Younger?
Yes.
He has a World Series ring already?
Yes, he does.
And he plays the field every day?
Yes, he does. But Ohtani is baseball's unicorn. That's what keeps him at that $700 million range. No one's going to touch that because no one does what Ohtani does. Like, Juan Soto is a very good hitter. He's a very good baseball player. He's not Shohei Ohtani. Even with the whole gambling scandal and all of that, right? Juan Soto is not touching $700 million. And if he does, it's going to be viewed as a drastic overpay.
I mean, now, who do you think is in the market next year? The Mets, Yankees,
The Dodgers, Giants.
Giants, and what? Cubs? Seattle?
Maybe the Cubs. You know, I'm starting not to rule out the Texas Rangers. I'm starting to.
Rangers,
you know,
Astros,
maybe. Astros, maybe.
Astros got that money too, right?
You know, if the Padres overperform, I could see that a reunion.
They're
going
to try to get back into it? I don't think so. I think that's done.
I don't know. I mean,
somebody told me the Braves would be interested, but I don't think they need him. They're not going to.
But could you imagine an outfield of Acuna and Soto?
But they're not going to pay that.
No, they're not.
They're not going to pay. And we have a center fielder. Like, Michael Harris is our center fielder. It's fine.
Well, no. Well, I mean,
We won without that. So, I mean, yeah.
And you know what? At the end of the day, that's going to create a little bit of a rip because who's going to play right field? Acuna is just as good as Juan Soto defensively. I mean,
well,
if you're looking for
a team that
might make a splash.
Yeah.
You can't count out Toronto. You just can't count out Toronto. Because
they have
that kind of
money?
I don't see why not. That's, you know, they brought in George Springer. They still haven't paid their guys yet. Bo Bichette is not really proven to be that great
of a
hit.
He's good.
He's not great.
He's not great.
He's proven to be kind of a butcher at shortstop.
Vlad G's their guy.
And, you know, Vladdy's their guy. But if they're hanging around this periphery and if they're serious about being contenders, they'll pony up. They got to pony up for him. And you know what? Kind of sneaky. The Orioles are going to have some players coming off their books next year. If Mullins goes and other players go, slide in Juan Soto. Right?
I don't know if they have that money. That's a lot, man.
They have new ownership. It's a new owner in Baltimore, and they'll want to put their stamp on this team. So that's the one thing that gives me pause about that. But then, like, you know, the also-rans, like the White Sox, they're not nowhere near contending. The Brewers are not contending for that. The Tigers aren't going to be involved. You know,
Tigers have money. The Tigers
have money.
Remember,
I don't think he's going to want to go to Detroit.
They were one of those teams that was in the Alex Rodriguez sweepstakes back.
Mm-hmm.
They were a team fuck. The Red Sox.
They have money. They'll have money. Well, we'll see, because they're all the finagling and the financial machinations going on with the soccer is affecting what's going on in Boston. Now, my question is this. How much does Juan Soto value winning? I would say a lot. Just based on who is.
Really? I think he just wants to get his. He's going to get his. He won already. He's got a World Series ring. It's not the end all be all for him. Especially if a team comes and says, we're going to build around you. Right? I don't think he's looking to go to a team that's like already established. Right? Not for this.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Well, look at the teams that we already said. We said the Yankees. We said the Dodgers. We said the Giants. We said the Mets.
The Giants aren't. The Mets aren't. The Blue Jays apparently aren't.
The Boston. He will not go. It doesn't matter how much he's getting paid, because he will not go to Boston and play for a last place team. If that was the case, he would have stayed in Washington.
Well, no. He says that he wanted to stay in Washington, and they didn't want him anymore. That's his story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want a 22-year-old all-star generational talent.
Well, they were just going to start over. They didn't think they could pay him. Which, it sounds like they're going to be right. I think, well, if I'm his agent, that's the number we're starting at. We're starting at 10 years, $600 million. Mm-hmm. That's where we're starting. We'll take it from there. But, you know, another person off to a hot start is Mookie Betts. 4 games, he has 4 homers, 500 batting average, 10 RBI, 1.739 OPS. So, you know, now looking back, I mean, at this Boston trade, how bad was this for them to dump Betts?
Atrocious.
Oh.
Absolutely atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. If we're going to rank sports trades, it's up there in recent history. The only trade that may rival this is Russell Wilson. But in terms of sheer garbage.
Yeah, just so we all know, like, he was traded with David Price to the Dodgers for Alex Verdugo, who is now a Yankee.
Yes.
Prospects Jeter Downs.
Who's now a Yankee.
Who's a Yankee. And Connor Wong.
Who may or may not be a Yankee. So, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Not to mention, they also sent, the Dodgers sent Kenta Maeda to the Twins. So it was a 3-team trade. But it's so bad. It's so bad.
Do you think if, let's say we can project, right? We can go back in time and say, okay, you could either keep Mookie Betts or give back the 2018 World Series. What do you think they'd prefer?
It's a good question.
Because when you think about it, that's what this all is stemming from, right? They won the World Series in 2018.
Yeah.
2019 was a wash, and the whole idea was, okay, we're gonna build around Devers. We're going to get prospects for Mookie because we're not going to be able to pay Mookie. Like, that was the whole idea. If they don't win the World Series, then maybe you do keep Mookie. Right?
Yeah, but who else is there? That's my question.
Who else is on the Red Sox?
Who else is on the Red Sox? Like, who else
now,
is there?
Now nobody, because they're just selling players.
Exactly, but that's my point. It's like, what are you? I
but
mean, are
even
you keeping
if they,
Devers?
But if they had Mookie Betts right now, they're a wild card.
I don't believe that.
Wow. Okay.
With this current roster, you drop in Mookie Betts, I don't think he makes a difference. Because at the end of the day, you still have Bobby Dalbec, who's a bust. You still have Trevor Story, who's probably never going to play.
Trash.
You have Vaughn Grissom, who's good, but is it, you know, what is he really? We saw a good, 2-month stretch, and that you had to get rid of Chris Sale to get him. So as much as I can't stand Chris Sale, I would love to have a veteran pitcher on this team. Like, they're not going to lead the American League. They're not going to lead the major leagues in ERA all year. Like, that's just not sustainable.
I think if you give any Red Sox fan that option, they still take the 2018 World Series. And that's basically what it comes down to. You had a choice, and that was what they rolled with. Because when you think of Mookie Betts, as outstanding of a player he is, he's great. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He's a great athlete. Mm-hmm. He's a bowler. He's a baseball player. He's everything you want. I don't know if you could build a team around him, as weird as that sounds. Like, he's not... Like, even on that Dodger team, right? Mm-hmm. He's the focal point. Like, yes. Yeah, we're worried about him, but... Fuck, man, Freeman is batting fourth and Otani's up next. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like those Jeter teams. It's like, yeah, Jeter's good, but he wasn't the best player on those teams. We were more worried about Tino Martinez and Alex Rodriguez and, you know, and those kind of players. So that's the only thing that I could say about Mookie is, it's like, yeah, you're great. You're going to be great wherever you go. And you're playing shortstop now, which is amazing, right? But... could I really build around you? Could you be the focal guy? I don't think so. Like Aaron Judge. Like Aaron Judge is a guy who could be the guy, right? Soto is a guy who could be the guy. I hate to say this, but Bryce Harper is a guy who could be the guy, right? He could be the guy. But I don't know if Mookie is that guy. So I'm not mad that they did it.
Mookie's also never been given the opportunity to be that guy. So... because they immediately went out and they got all these other guys around it.
Oh, yeah. And those Red Sox teams were loaded. Like, yeah. Davey Martinez was a beast. Go back and watch the tape, man. He was a problem. Mm-hmm. Fucking problem.
But that's the thing. It's just like you've never given him the opportunity, so we can't Devers say they can't.
No. I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying that if I was an executive, I don't know if I would. I don't know if given the option, if I would. That's my whole thing. Like,
the one thing about him is that he's small, he's fast. I mean, he's hitting for more power now.
Yeah.
So okay, so maybe that, you know, that projects a little bit more, but you know, you expect, oh, he's just a speed guy. Eventually, like, your wheels slow down.
And this was also a team that got burned by Pedroia.
Yeah.
You remember, like, Pedroia had MVP season, was batting cleanup with David Ortiz in the lineup, and he got burnt out. He was giving it everything he had, and his body betrayed him.
Yeah.
You know, so they might have looked at that and be like, shit, man, he's really good right now, but is he really going to be good in 5 years? I don't know.
Or is he going to flame out like Dustin Pedroia?
Is he going to flame out like Dustin Pedroia? You know, so that's why I really give them a break on that. And I also really think that I don't know if I would really want to build around him. I think he's a good player to have on your team, and you want to play with him. But he's a guy that you surround with better players, and he's not a compliment to them. But you know, he's the, you know, the cherry on top.
Yeah, well, we can agree that the Boston Red Sox got absolutely nothing out of that trade.
No,
like they
got
all of those guys. They're gone. Gone.
They got Ugats from that. That's the thing.
The Yankees got more from that trade than the Red Sox did.
He basically traded Mookie Betts for a bag of meatballs, man.
Yeah.
Like, that was just like... And maybe that part wasn't thought out very well. Maybe they should have, you know, not been so quick to deal him to the Dodgers. And maybe there should have been more conversations had. But then again, then that's the other question, Z. Like, what happened? Why wasn't there a big enough... Where wasn't there a bigger market for Mookie Betts?
Because they tied him to, I'll tell you right now, they tied him to David Price. Nobody wanted that contract. And the Dodgers were saying they're dumb enough to take him.
They also paid $96 million.
They did.
They paid the majority of Mookie's contract.
Precisely. Well, that's the whole thing with the Josh Beckett trade, remember? Like, oh, you want Josh Beckett? You got to take Mike Lowell. And what happened? Mike Lowell turned out to be a World Series MVP. So, you know. Like, Michael's
gotta stop dyeing his hair and just let it be white. There's no... Dude, why is your hair brown? Your hair was black your whole life. Like, what are you doing? Just let it be white. It's okay, man.
And just for the record, Connor Wong still on the Red Sox. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Good for you, Connor Wong. Good job, buddy.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon.
The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top-notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
We don't talk a lot about women's college basketball, but we will today. Caitlin Clark dropped 41 points on LSU to punch Iowa's ticket to the Final Four. Now, a national title seems like it's within grasp. Up next, they're going to play UConn and my favorite women player, Paige Beckers. But her representatives are already looking at the next chapter. Ice Cube and the Big Three reportedly have offered Clark a $5 million deal. If Caitlin Clark opts to go to the NBA, she will only make $78,000 a year. So, Z, if you're Caitlin's father, where is she playing next year?
I don't think she... In 40 minutes, she had a double-double. 41 points, 12 assists. 13 of 29 field goals, 9 of 20 from 3. Okay, that's volume shooting right there. That's certainly volume shooting. Now, you get this bird-in-hand offer of $5 million. We also don't know, to be fully honest, we don't know how much she has made off of NIL. We don't know. We have a general idea that she's very well paid, but we really don't know for sure. $5 million, that's a lot. That's very difficult to turn down, especially for a contract with the WNBA, which will make anywhere between $78,000 and $100,000. Right? The math ain't mathing on that one. I'm sorry. The math just is not mathing.
The math ain't mathing.
Like, if I can get $5 million, yeah, I gotta play against dudes. But fuck it, I'll play against dudes. I'll play against anybody. You're paying that much.
How is it the Big Three got more money than the WNBA? Is the WNBA really losing that much money that they can't pony up for this star?
Well, it's a loss leader for the NBA. Like, yeah, it really is a loss leader for the NBA. I know. That's the hard part in all of this, is that you want to see a great talent like Caitlin Clark go up against the best. Like, this is what she'll finally get her chance to, like, really prove herself against equal caliber players. But yes, she's beating Angel Reese, she's beating LSU, she's beating these college, she is above and beyond most of these players. So to see how she would fare against the Brittany Griners of the world, the Sabrina Ionescu, the Diana Taurasis, like the elite in women's basketball. But don't we know how that's going to play out? For the first few years, yeah.
Don't we know that if she goes to the WNBA, she's going to be a star? Like, we know she's going to be able to play.
For sure.
So you don't know if she's going to be able to hang with those girls. All right.
I don't know that, because she has... Who has she played that's in that...
Well, in that situation, then it's a no-brainer. Then she has to go to the WNBA in that scenario.
Now, that's not to say that she doesn't... You can also look at WNBA draft, and you can always see what this is going. You can always pull a power play, right? I can go play for $5 million and then re-enter the draft next year. Like, I can figure that out.
Here's the thing is, like, she's in a position where she could really, like, make history, right? Like, she's in a position where she could go in the big three and show that women can play with men, you know? And you could really break ground there. I mean, you could really break down barriers and change things. You go to the WNBA, you're just doing what you're supposed to do. And I think you're different. You're saying you don't know. I'm saying I would expect her to play at a high level. And I would expect her to do well against Taurasi and Stewart and all the other women. But, I mean, you got a chance to really change the game. I mean, that's just what I feel here. The thing is, you could go to the big three, and if it doesn't work for you, or you don't like it, you can then go to the WNBA. You could leave, sign as a free agent.
It doesn't hurt her status at all if she goes and tries this, right?
It's kind of
like Annika Sorenstam, right? When Annika Sorenstam went and played men's tour events. When she was the queen of the LPGA, and she was like, I'm going to try and make this work. Was she successful? No. But she did blaze trails for so many female golfers, right? She and Michelle Wee did that. Now, if maybe Caitlin Clark can trailblaze in that fashion, but, I mean, $5 million is $5 million, man. Like, that's what it is at the end of the day. If the WNBA could somehow match that, well, for one, if she becomes the highest paid player in the WNBA before she even steps foot on a WNBA court, there is going to be a target on her back that is going to be huge.
Maybe, but the only hang up for the big three is, can you play defense in the big three? That's the question that only she knows. She's the only person that knows, hey, can I go into this league and play against 6'7", 6'8", 6'9 foot men and play defense? And that's where the hang up is, right? Because you are a liability in a 3-on-3 if you can't, because no one coming to help you, Z.
There's no help.
If that guy's backing you down, you gotta take it. Get your hands up. You gotta figure it out. Nobody's coming to help you. So that's the only hang up. So if she was to opt, to go to the WNBA, then that's what that tells me. That tells me it's like, you know your limits. You know that, you could score, but you're worried about being a defensive liability and getting exploited in a 3-on-3 pretty much men's league, right? And if you do go, well, that means you're trying to change things. You're trying to change the game, and you're trying to prove something, and I applaud that.
Especially she would be, she would be a trailblazer, but with that comes, you run the risk, right? Oh, is she a gimmick? Right?
Oh, are you just, if she goes to the big three?
If she goes to the big three. Like, is this just a gimmick on their part? And that's not fair to her, because she's a very good athlete.
I applaud Ice Cube for extending the offer. And I think it's a smart and a bold move by him. Mm-hmm. Because it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's like, hey, you come play here. You can't play in the NBA, but you can play in this league. And we have former NBA players.
Yep.
So, you know, if you really think your game is that elite, come on over, you know? So that's the only part of that is, you know, because we know what the WNBA is. You know, you're going to play in front of 6,000 7,000 people maybe, and eventually you probably have a chance to be the star of that league. But you know, I've watched her games, I've seen teams shut her down, I've seen teams frustrate her, I mean, she's not a world beater. I mean, she definitely put Iowa on the map for her style of play and what she's able to do. She's a good player. I'm not taking anything away from her. But, you know, when you go to the next level, they'll figure it out.
They'll absolutely figure it out. And that's the problem when you're so, when you're generationally so far above your competition. We've had this argument so many times with Reggie Bush, regarding Reggie Bush. He was so far head and shoulders above everybody that there was only one place for him to go but down. So, Caitlin Clark does run that risk.
I'm a Paige Beckers fan. I like her. I like her game.
I'm interested to see that matchup. Like, it's going to be a very, you know, it's going to be an intense matchup. And you know what? Like, it wouldn't put it past me if Geno had something for Iowa. Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah.
It also wouldn't surprise me if Caitlin Clark is hoisting the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, Paige Beckers was supposed to be.
She blew out. Yeah.
Yeah, she was supposed to be Caitlin Clark, you know, but she hurt her knee. Yeah, and, you know, she had to change her style of play. Bryce Harper, by the way, had 3 home runs and 1 grand slam tonight. Jesus.
Oh, wow. Well, those are his first 3 hits of the season, so good for
helping him. Helping fantasy teams all over the world.
Good for you, Bryce. Good for you.
On the men's side, the Final Four is set. NC State set to play Purdue. So an 11 versus a 1. And UConn set to play Alabama. So we got a 1 versus a 4. My bracket, one is busted, one's still alive, and I've got some other gambling thing I'm in where if Alabama wins, I win some money. But who do you want? Forget who's going to get there. Who do you want to see get there? Who do you want to see in the money?
Bet responsibly, kid. Yeah. But, I mean, I wanted to see Clemson. Clemson got busted. So, is what it is on that one.
But it was a good game. Yeah. It was a good game. They got lost fairly.
Yeah, they got beat. Kudos to Alabama. Good for you. I don't want to see Purdue. I'm sorry. I just don't want to see Purdue. I don't believe in them.
National Player of the Year. You're not interested in Purdue finally getting to the Final Four for the first time, I think, in like 40 years.
They will choke. Like, I'm still maintaining that they will choke.
I like the Robbie Hummel Purdue.
Oh, God, Robbie Hummel. Wow, there's a callback.
That was the Purdue team that I wanted to win. I'm not in love with this Purdue team. I'm not in love with Zach Edey.
No. The recent vintage of Purdue gets, you know, scraps and claws and fights and scratches and gets to the number one, and then they lose immediately. Like, they can't. The spotlight gets big, they shrink. Now, can they beat NC State?
Like a frightened turtle.
Like a itching? Like a, I don't know how you walk around with those things. But, you know, they are an overwhelming favorite against NC State. And, you know, 11 versus a 1, it's understandable. But, you know, part of me wants to see NC State, right? Part of me wants to see that little engine that could, right? Do the thing that George Mason couldn't do. Do the thing that San Diego State couldn't do. Like, they got to the championship game last year. They couldn't close it out. Like, Florida Gulf Coast. You just want that ascendancy. And they haven't been great, right, since Jim Valvano. Like, NC State hasn't been there since Jimmy V. So, like, that goes to show you about that. Like, UConn, it's hard to imagine anybody beating UConn.
I can't see it.
Let alone Alabama.
They just, I mean, I watched the game, and it was just unbelievable. They literally went on a 30-0 run to start the second half. There were no answers. And you're like, I'm like, call timeout. It just didn't matter. He called timeout. Still, they couldn't hit a basket. And UConn was just, they were just running their offense, getting easy buckets, getting easy shots, layups, dunks, fast breaks. They were getting the shots they wanted. They're just a well-oiled team. Like, I don't like, I don't like Hurley as a coach. I don't like the family. I don't like him, but he's doing well. Like, they are so in sync with each other that I something would have to mess up their flow to get them down, and I don't see any team out there that's going to be able to do that.
I mean, anybody can. I mean, they didn't end the season undefeated. They are 35-3, so they got caught three times. Now, could you catch lightning in a bottle? Sure, absolutely. Anything is possible. Is it likely, though? I'm with you. I don't see that if this.
I don't see it likely. I don't even see lightning in a bottle. Like, they are just so. Just a well-oiled machine, man. And when they go on their runs, there's no stopping them, man. There's no stopping them when they go on their runs. Timeouts don't work. Exchanging baskets don't work. They just don't stop.
No, they don't. And, you know, that is a credit to Coach Early. I know you guys aren't on Christmas card exchange.
Not anymore.
But, you know... That's a kudos to him. That's a kudos to the system that he runs. And, you know, it's hard. As much as you may want to see the underdogs, I don't believe that both ones get knocked off. And I'm surprised that Purdue made it this far. I thought Houston would have made it there instead. I thought it would have been Houston.
But that was another good game.
Yeah.
It was another game. It came down to the end.
Yeah, but I really thought they would have been that other number one.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, I think it's going to be UConn, and I think it's going to be Purdue. What I'd like to see, I'd actually like to see NC State playing Alabama. I would. Really? I think it'd be fun. It'd be more fun. Be less pressure. Like it'd be the first time that Alabama's made it to the Final Four. And both their football team got to the Final Four, the basketball team got to the Final Four. They got a chance to win a national championship in basketball. Yeah. And then on the other side, it's NC State, it's Valvano, it was since 1983. Like, it's just such a better story. Like, UConn won a couple years ago. I guess you could play with the Purdue thing where, oh, it's Zach Edey. He's finally made it. National Player of the Year all these years. And they finally get to the Final Four. They're finally competing for a championship. But it's like, meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
The cool story with NC State is that they're the first team in NCAA history to have both of their men's and women's basketball teams representing in the Final Four. So that is pretty cool. Like, it would be awesome if both teams won. It would be awesome if both teams actually...
Ooh, that'd be a good bet. I wonder what the parlay for that is. That's got to be high.
We need to get with our guy in Vegas and figure that out.
We need to get sponsored by MGM Rewards.
Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch Apple to Campfire S'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow them on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
Let's move on to some football story. We talked about this during the week, and we rehashed it a couple of times. But, you know, with Baker Mayfield signing his $100 million contract with the Bucks, I think we can both agree that he's kind of returned to franchise quarterback status. That's why. You know, so who is the next former first-round pick that will resurge his career this season? So just out of what you got Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, Mitchell Trubisky, Trey Lance, Kenny Pickett, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. Who could be the next Baker Mayfield?
Let's go around the horn. All right, Mac Jones. If he plays in Jacksonville, something has gone wrong, because Trevor Lawrence is the guy. Justin Fields might be able to take the job from Russell Wilson, but I don't know. The rest of the team around him isn't that great. Kenny Pickett, see Mac Jones, but in Philly. If anything happens to Jalen Hurts, they're fucked. Just plain and simple, they're fucked. Trey Lance is what, a third string? If that,
yeah. Third string? He's third string.
If the two guys ahead of him go down, something has gone extremely wrong. Mitch Trubisky. If he has to play, that means something really bad has happened to Josh Allen. And I would just say, congratulations to the Miami Dolphins for your division title. If anything happens to Josh Allen.
Are you kidding? The Jets got Hassan Reddick. They're going to the Super Bowl.
No comment.
He left the thing on Twitter. No, he left the thing on Instagram. Oh, Jets fans, you don't know what's about to come. It's like, oh, yeah,
yes,
I do.
We do. Yes, we do.
Yes, I know we do. Exactly what's going to happen, my friend.
Yes, we do, Hassan. Absolutely, we do.
100%. There's a reason, sir, why you were traded for a third-round pick, my friend.
All right, well, we've seen this before. You're not the first. You won't be the last. I'm sorry. Zach Wilson. Moving on. That leaves Sam Darnold. That leaves Sam Darnold by default.
Zach Wilson, we're moving on.
Yeah, we're moving on. Because, you know, if he's playing...
If he's playing,
that means Taylor's down. That means Rodgers is down. That means the season's over.
Oh, so you got him going back to the New York Jets.
Who's going to take him?
My dear Lord.
At this point, to
my,
quote...
My
to
dear
quote,
Lord.
To quote Little Big League again, we got to find somebody dumb enough to take you. And no one has demonstrated that they are dumb enough to take this guy.
Oh, my God.
There's
Could
one
you
team.
Imagine if this man shows up at OTAs... Because he has to report.
No, he has to.
He has to report. If they don't cut him or trade him, he has to report.
There are two teams, Denver and Carolina. Those are the only two teams I can see dumb enough to take him.
Yeah.
And Zach would be the backup to Bryce Young.
I think Seattle. Yeah, Seattle.
Sam Howell. Ooh, Sam Howell. You mentioned Sam Howell. I can see Sam Howell having the best out of everybody.
But he wasn't a first-round pick, though, right?
But because we're talking specifically about first-round picks, we got to put Sam Howell to the side.
Yeah.
I could definitely see Sam Howell balling out in Seattle. But that leaves Sam Darnold by default, man. You keep Justin Jefferson. You got weapons. That team's not bad. Like Sam Darnold
because
has
he's
a
the
shot.
Starter. He's the starter right now, right?
Sam's the starter. He is.
You'd assume they're going to trade up to draft a quarterback. You would assume.
Now, you know whether it's J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix Jr. Or actually, they may not even need to trade to get Penix. So that's the thing. But I mean, it's him, and I think it's Jaren Hall. Like, by you know, Sam's got that one.
Yeah.
So. It's gotta
be. I like
be.
Sam. I've always been a Sam fan. I like Sam. I like him.
But of this list, and based on the situation that he's in, it's Sam Darnold. It's absolutely Sam Darnold. Now, he's been put in this position before, and he's squandered it every single time. You're the guy. Make it happen. Shit. So, defend your boy.
How about also Carson Wentz getting signed today by the Kansas City Chiefs?
But you know what? Okay, so if anything happened to Patrick Mahomes, you now have Blaine Gabbert and Carson Wentz. That's okay. Okay.
Well, I don't know if Blaine's back because I also heard that Ian Book is there.
Okay,
the
so maybe
former
he's not.
Notre Dame guy.
Yeah.
And there's one other former quarterback who's actually really good that's going to be competing. So maybe
so
Blaine's gone.
Yeah, if Blaine's gone, that's fine because Carson Wentz is your number two. Like, he could probably... I mean, we haven't seen the best... We haven't even seen the good of Carson Wentz in a while. So, like, he got Matthew Stafford's Gatorade just the right temperature last year. So... You know,
that might be another place for your buddy Zach Wilson.
LA. Maybe. But I don't know. But as a third stringer, sure.
Yeah. He's got to be holding a clipboard.
No, absolutely.
Just, Just get the fucking water, man.
That's it.
Just get the water. No, for me, I think Sam's a very valid choice. But for me, I'm actually going to go with Mac Jones.
Really?
I could see Trevor maybe getting hurt. And I think you remember that Doug Peterson did this before. He had Wentz. Wentz went down. Nick Foles became the starter. Won the Super Bowl. Got a statue outside the stadium. So that could happen with Mac. I mean, I think Mac really just struggled with the Patriots. Like, I'm going to chalk it up to, like, you know, it wasn't an ideal situation for him. I don't think playing for Belichick was his strong point, even though he did play for Saban. I think it was really tough for him. I think Doug Peterson is a good quarterback coach. I think he's done a great job with Trevor Lawrence. And I could see him resurging Mac Jones's career so that maybe in 2025, Mac could sign on with a team and be their guy.
You'd hope that they kind of rebuild him, like, because he needs desperately to be rebuilt. A lot of these guys desperately need to be rebuilt.
Fucking Joe Judge was calling plays for him.
And Matt Patricia. Yeah, so... A year under Doug Peterson would actually be something that would be very beneficial to him. So, I mean, kind of like what you're saying about Zach Wilson, a year under Sean McVay would be beneficial to him. The problem is that he's behind Stafford and Jimmy G. So, like, what meaningful reps are you going to get? You're just going to be scout team. Like, you're just going to be running, you know, you're going to be...
Zach?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's what he needs, though. He needs to learn.
He's going to be, like, they're going to be playing Tampa Bay. He's like, you're going to pretend to be Baker Mayfield this week.
You could do that, right?
Shucks, I can try, coach.
Just run in the right direction, Zach.
Why? Baker doesn't. What did I say? What did I say? But, you know, I mean, all these guys, with the exception of, you know, Mitch, who's done this, you know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, but he's back in that situation. Like, Fields has something to prove. He's in a position where he can prove it. Like, Jones, I don't see it. Like, I don't know. Like, he'll be good. He'll be get the tutelage he needs, but he's not going to see playing time. Trey Lance, no. Kenny Pickett, no. I mean, he'll resurge someplace else. I mean, they're not going to be $100 million contract resurge. That requires playing time. So to do that, I mean, by process of elimination, that leaves Sam. But, you know, because we limited ourselves to first-round picks, we had these guys, but I keep going back to Sam Howell, right? Like, I mentioned it, I mean... Yes, you were very clear about first-round picks, but I don't know, man. I like Sam Howell a lot. Like, he's got the arm. I mean, at one point, he did lead the league in touchdowns and yards last year. Like, Sam Howell, with a shit Washington team. That team was shit. So, you put him in a better situation, and I think that he is the guy that is going to be that $100 million man. Like, Sam, you know, how many more chances? He's like AJ Burnett. Like, how many more chances are you going to be? You get one good year out of Sam, and, like, what's it going to be? Like, I remember when AJ Burnett signed with the Yankees, and my mom and sister were, like, super excited. And I was like, don't be excited. You're going to get one good year out of him. And it was 2009 was the one good year they got out of May Day.
They won that year, didn't they?
They did. And he was a key factor in that. And then next thing you know, like, the next highlight for him is when he's pinch running for Jorge Posada, because Girardi and Posada got into a pissing match and Girardi decided to bench him. So, you know, Sam is that little girl with the curl. That's it. Very, very good or very, very bad. And Justin Jefferson will definitely help. And Kevin O'Connell will help. You know, like, he's always had the arm. You're right. He has always had the arm. But it's the ear. It's between the ears. It's always been between the ears. And let's see. Like, maybe he's finally got his head on straight, and what's in between his ears is fixed.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week. All right, boys and girls, we have a statement that's either fair or foul. Fair or foul? Number one, Mike Trout will play over 120 games and be an MVP candidate.
Oh, man. I am going to go fair on this. He's just off to a good start. He looks good. He started off the year. He's got three home runs. He's got three RBIs, solo shots. He's got a 1.262 OPS, batting 286. I'm not going to give up on Mike Trout. I'm not giving up on Mike Trout. I'm saying he's going to get traded mid-year. He's going to go to the Phillies, be their center fielder. I got him for over 120 games, and I got him for MVP candidate.
Foul. Absolutely foul. 139, 157, 157, 159, 159, 114, 140, 134, COVID year, 53, 36 and 21, 119 and 22, 82 and 23. He barely made half a season. Age 32, he's not getting any younger. His body's breaking down, as you can see.
As you can see,
like, numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie here. Games played is important. You need to be available. And there's no place else to stick him in Philly, right? Bryce Harper already made the move from right field to first base. So where are they going to stick him? He's going to be the DH. Oh, wait. They can't do that because they got Schwarber. You're not putting Schwarber in the field. No. Absolutely not. So I would say he'll crack 100. He'll crack 100. There will be a team. It will be the Phillies or the Giants. Something like that. So a team that's in need of an outfielder, or somebody, a team that's in the hunt, who's willing to drop that prospect capital, who's willing to pay that price. And they are going to be let down, severely let down, because he'll play very well, and then, oh, my hamstring, oh, my knee.
Not the Dodgers, right?
I don't think they can afford him. I think they would bow out of Trout and go for Soto. I mean, 7 years younger. Again, numbers don't
Houston.
Lie. I could see that. Houston, they have a very young outfield, and that's going to be a thing. That's definitely going to be a thing all year long. I mean, Kyle Tucker's good, but if you're running out Jake Myers and Chaz McCormick, yeah, I can be interested in a Mike Trout. And Yordan Alvarez, do not put him in the outfield. Put him at first. Have a brave DH. Move on. I don't know what Joe Espada is doing there. I get that Yordan Alvarez can play the outfield, but just because you can doesn't mean you should. So, there you go. But Houston could definitely, now that you mention it, that would be very interesting. But it's just a ticking time bomb, man. His body is a ticking time bomb. And it's a matter of time before, like Stanton. Oh, my knee. Oh, my hamstring. Oh, I broke my arm. Right. It's just, that's who Mike Trout is. He'll be brilliant. And he'll fall off a cliff because he can't stay healthy. That's Mike Trout in a nutshell. Fair or foul. Number two, Michael Penix Jr. is really climbing up these draft boards after his amazing workouts.
I think it's foul. I think people are just trying to talk him up. His injury history is just very concerning. I don't see how any team could draft him earlier than the third round. The guy tore his right ACL in 2018. Then he re-tore it in 2020 and played in 2021 without getting medical clearance. Then he fractured his shoulder clavicle in 2019, his right side. And then he had a shoulder AC joint separation in 2021. He is just not built to play professional football. So I think it's all hype. I don't think it's real.
How you guys say it's fair just for the simple fact that it's not that he's moving into the first round. Like, second would be fine. A second round pick would be fine. It's a little bit of a stretch. But if it's a team that already has a quarterback and you're giving this kid a look, or you think that he might be able to benefit you, I don't see the problem there. You know, like we've mentioned, we linked him several times to the Seahawks. Want to take him? Fine, right? You got, you know, you have Geno there. Like, okay, maybe. Right? Maybe the Giants want to take him in the second round. Okay, bring him in. Look at that quarterback room. Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, Tommy DeVito. What's one more? What's one more? So, where you start to lose me is that, oh, he's jumping into the first round now. No. That injury history is very real. Right? And with first round status comes first round money. A guy that is held together with duct tape and glue, I don't think you necessarily want to invest first round money in. Think about a guy like Jason White. Remember Jason White? All those years ago. Like, he didn't even get drafted. Right? Jason White got the shit beat out of him in college, had multiple knee injuries. He ended up playing in the league. He ended up playing, I think, for the Titans. But his body was a mess by the time that he got to the pro. Like, the 2005 draft, he not only didn't get drafted, he also didn't get tryouts. So, like, that injury history can definitely affect your draft status. Now, he's showing that he's healthy. He's showing that he can make the throws in the pro day. Pro days are pro days. You know, we in New York know about pro days, right? At this point, we know about what happens at pro day. Gets you the overall number two pick, right? So, I'm fine with Penix being second, third round. I'm fine there. I'm fine with it. Just moving into the first round is a little too rich for my blood because I'm not paying him. I'm just, for a guy that may be out of football forever very quickly, just one bad hit, and he's got to have his knee rebuilt again, too rich for my blood. First round, way too rich for my blood for Michael Penix. Second, third, okay, but not first. No way.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today for all your Fade Route merch needs. I'm talking tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, like yoga pants. We got those too. Like some cool accessories. We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have so much more planned for you, but check out what we have today at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and now on our Instagram page at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, Dee?
I don't.
Narrowly beating out Scott Boras was Shohei Ohtani. Bet responsibly, kid. Bet responsibly. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, first up, I've got the New York Mets. Highest payroll in professional baseball. 0-4 start to the season. New York Mets do better. Number two, I've got the Oakland A's. You have more errors than you have runs. You have 13 errors this year, but only 11 runs. Oakland A's, do better. Just do better. And number three, last but not least, the Toronto Blue Jays. It's not even a week into the season, and you get no hit by a guy making his eighth start who's never pitched more than six innings. He wasn't even supposed to play that day. Toronto Blue Jays, do better. Just do better. What do you got, Z?
I mean, those are great choices. You mean the Mets are indefensible. The Mets are absolutely indefensible. But you know who else is indefensible?
The guy on the motorcycle?
No, Mets Twitter. Mets Twitter. It is four games into the season. Four games into the season. They want McNeil gone. They want Lindor batting ninth. They want, who else? They want all the kids up from AAA, but they want J.D. Martinez off from Port St. Lucie, who's trying to get, you know, health, who's trying to, you know, get his swing back and get ready. It's four fucking games. Four. Do you know how many games they play?
I think they pay 162. They do.
And luckily for the Mets, they got rained out tonight. So there we go. There's the first positive of the year that they got rained out tonight. Bitching about how Mark Canna got a tribute video. Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit if Mark Canna got a tribute video? Mark Canna did some good things for the Mets in his year and a half. Okay. Who cares? If the organization deems it appropriate, fine, right? The New York Rangers give out tribute videos like they're Tic Tacs. Doesn't matter, who cares? It's not your money, it's not your time, right? You're not putting these videos together. Yeah, are they doing poorly right now? You can't dispute 0-4. You are what your record says you are. But you cannot tell me that they're going to go 0-162, because that's never happened in the history of baseball, and it never will. It never fucking will. So, can we back off of DEFCON 1, please? Please. Lindor will hit. McNeil will hit. Mendoza will figure out how to navigate this roster. Relax. To quote the great Aaron Rodgers. R-E-L-A-X. And if I'm quoting Aaron Rodgers, that's really fucking telling you something. New York Mets Twitter. You are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, And it's a combo. I'm going to combo off of yours. You mentioned the Oakland A's. So I'm going to talk about the A's and Major League Baseball. The A's benched their former All-Star, Brett Rooker. They optioned Estuary Ruiz in the minors, even though he was hitting 429, had an equatorially hot spring. And this is supposed to be okay? This is supposed to be okay. A team that's actively trying to lose until they get to Vegas is making more moves to actively tank. Major League Baseball needs to intervene here. Absolutely. They absolutely do. The problem is they won't, because Gutless Rob has a deal to move to Vegas. And he's not going to spoil that deal by forcing Fisher to sell the team, or by sanctioning the Oakland A's for purposefully losing and making the necessary moves to continue to lose and lose huge. So Major League Baseball and the Oakland A's, we see what you're doing. You're not being coy about it. Not even close. Do better, boys. Just do better. And then last but not least, Rashee Rice. Ugh. Involved in high-speed race and a high-speed car accident that injured multiple people, totaled the cars. He ran away from it. Initially hid behind his lawyer, claimed he wasn't there. Then he said he had rented the Lamborghini. Somebody else was driving the Lamborghini. He was driving the other car. This is just bad. This is just bad. This is just bad all the way around, man. This is just, the story doesn't get better any way you slice it. And this is a league, right? Who's just coming off of the Henry Ruggs thing. Yeah. Somebody died then. Somebody could have died here. So that's kind of, that's kind of important here. Like, just because there were only injuries and not fatalities doesn't make this any more of a serious matter. So Rashee Rice, you're going to have to sit for a while. I would say a good long while. Rashee Rice, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we've said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, or go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominee.
Just do better, boys. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.